Good morning. Merry Christmas. It's great to be here with you all as we continue our Advent series, our looking toward Jesus, awaiting Jesus. And obviously today there are people probably right now somewhere in the world already celebrating the birth of Jesus. We have these candles here that we've looked at light, at peace, at hope. And this morning we're going to be talking about joy. Talking about the joy of Christmas, the joy of the expectation of Jesus, the joy that Jesus brings, the child that we celebrate in Christmas. Babies are born every day. In case you didn't know that, babies are born every day in the world. In America, 10,000 babies are born in a day. Yeah, that's a lot of babies. 3,664,000 plus per year, just in America. 416 per hour, 6.9 per minute. Every 8.5 seconds in this country, a baby is born. That's a lot of babies. But wait, in the world, 140 million per year. Over 385,000 a day born. Which, I did the math a little bit, and I actually got a timer out. 4.4 babies per second. So check this out. If you looked at the globe, or you just thought in your head, this is what it looks like. And because I tested it. Baby, 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 baby. All the time, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. That is how many babies, on average, are being born every year. 140 million per year. All created by God, all knitted in their mother's wombs, all to be celebrated, all bringing joy. None of them deserving of Christmas. As hard as that is to hear for a mother who gives birth or a father who watches their child be born, none of those 140 million are worthy of Christmas. In fact, they say, whoever they is, that since the beginning of time, 80 billion children have been born. It's a lot of babies. You know what that means? Of those 80 billion, 79,999,999,999 of them are not worthy of Christmas. Just one. Jesus. Just Jesus. We celebrate Jesus. There's only one birth of Jesus. There's only one morning where the angel of the Lord appeared to shepherds and announced the good news of great joy that would be for all the people. Only one time. There's only one time where God came forth to be born as a man. Only once. And that is the good news of great joy that will be for all the people. That is what the angel announced. That is what the shepherds rejoiced with. That is what the Magi later went and saw. That is what we should be celebrating Christmas. Now the lights, the trees, the presents, the songs, those are all void of this joy. Almost every movie you watch, almost. I kind of took a mental note. The movies I love, the Christmas movies I love, they're almost all void of Jesus. It kind of hit me this year, like, wow. The songs, almost all of them, if you listen to a Christmas station, yes, a Christmas station, a Christian station, but many, many of the songs have nothing to do with Jesus. You go into the stores, trees, lights, presents, music, money, 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 money. No Jesus. The world wants to celebrate Jesus outside of this. When this is the origin, it's like they made the mold, God made the mold, and then in reproducing the mold, they got so far away from it that they don't even know where it came from. Literally, there's kids today, even some adults, that don't even know the original that brought us Christmas. So this morning, we're going to attempt to steep ourselves in the true joy of Christmas. Question, though, what if right now the Grinch came? Cartoon version, Jim Carrey, whatever you want. We're all at church. He goes to your house. tree gone, presents gone, lights gone, no music, no pies, no whatever, and you went home and it was just home, what would your Christmas look like? Would you still have joy? Or would all of it be seeped out because what you put your joy in was the stuff that's fleeting? And it wasn't what the angel pronounced as good news of great joy that would be for all the people. Now, mind you, all those things are great. They're rad. And I believe that God gives us good gifts. He wants us to have joy. He wants us to have music. All of these things. But if that is the source of our Christmas, it can all go up in flames. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2 this morning. And we're going to look at the joy of Christmas, the way that the Bible tells us. So if you wouldn't mind standing up, we're going to read together. I'm going to read out of the ESV. If you don't have that one, you can just listen. If you have it, feel free to read along. But what I want us to think about before we read is there is so much missing in all of the songs. Most of the songs, most of the presents, most of the trees, most of the lights, most of the festivities, there's so much missing when Jesus is the center of it all. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee to the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Let's pray. Lord, this morning may Christmas be of you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat. The joy of Christmas is Jesus. It was good news of great joy for all the people. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. The angel announced this, and they didn't get all of what that meant. They didn't have the New Testament. There was only a select number of Old Testaments around for them to even understand these things and learn these things and know these things. So when the angel said it to them, they probably had to go off their memory of the scriptures they had been growing up with. But for us this morning, we have the New Testament. We have the complete joy of Christmas, which is Jesus. So this morning, what I want to do is just spend 3 hours or so walking through 2 hour, or whatever. We'll just spend some time together walking through some of the joys of Christmas. You have your outline. You can see it there. We'll go over those. You don't need to take notes if you don't want. But I want us to see some of the fulfillment that is within Christmas. Because if we just, hear me out, if we just sit with the moment of Christmas in the Bible without understanding the past or the future, we can miss a lot of the joys that Christmas is. First thing I want us to see is one of the joys in Christmas is the joy that Jesus fulfilled prophecy. Jesus fulfilled prophecy, a lot of prophecies. I believe over 350 of them. Way back, years and years and years ago. In fact, back to the beginning. Adam and Eve, you guys hopefully remember, God created the heavens and the earth. He created Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve sinned. That's why we have sin now. The serpent deceived, and Adam and Eve sinned. And when God is talking to them, God talks to the serpent, and he says in Genesis 3, verse 15, we'll do 14 and 15. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. And on your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Many theologians, scholars see a prophecy of Jesus in this. In fact, one of the first, if not the first, prophecy of Jesus. The seed of the woman being Jesus. The bruising of the heel being what the enemy does. But the crushing of the head, the bruising of the head, the crushing of the head is what Jesus does to Satan. He does it on the cross, and he will do it continually until he does it in the lake of fire. But that's a foreshadowing of Jesus to come. This is part of what Christmas introduces in the physical form. Isaiah 7:14. This is thousands of years later, God speaking to and having Isaiah write down prophecies for Israel. Maybe some that he didn't have a clue what was going on. Who knows exactly how much he understood. But in Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah writes, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which we know Emmanuel means God with us. God is speaking to Isaiah, having him write things down that aren't even going to happen for another 700 years or so. And that is what, again, what Christmas morning, if it was on a morning, what time, who knows exactly, but that is what Christmas initiates. Mary is the virgin. Emmanuel is Jesus. And even more so, chapters later, Isaiah writes this in chapter 53, 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. Another prophecy that Christmas enacts, Christmas initiates, giving us the birth of this child that would be the fulfillment of these prophecies. We're talking thousands of years in these things in the making, and multiple prophecies that Jesus fulfills. But I doubt these people understood it. Have you ever, heard something and understood what it said, but didn't understand what it meant till later, till you were older, till you understood it? I imagine so many of these Israelite children had grown up hearing these prophecies and not getting it. Getting it, but not getting it. Hearing it, but not understanding it. Understanding the words, but not understanding what they mean, because obviously Jesus had not yet come. And in fact, when he did come, we read in the New Testament that most of the Jews didn't still even get it even then. But God was working, God was preparing the world, mankind, for his Savior. if you will, for Christmas morning and the life that would come after that. In fact, bless you, in fact, in Matthew 1, 18 to 20, excuse me, I'll just read 20 to 23. This is Matthew writing about the birth story and how Joseph finds out Mary's pregnant outside of him, right? And he wants to divorce her quietly. But it says this. Man, I need my goggles. I said goggles, didn't I? It's the first time I've needed them up here. Wow, I'm old. Okay. Need big font Bible. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said, spoken by the prophet Isaiah, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now check this out. That is the prophecy of Isaiah holding its own in the Old Testament. Now it's Matthew, God showing us in the New Testament that even the gospel writers are giving credence to those prophecies 700 or so years before. And now this is being fulfilled. God with us. Jesus is God with us. And then we, Micah 5:2, you guys have probably heard, that talks about Bethlehem. Bethlehem being the spot, the tribe of Judah, the area of Judah. Jesus is from the tribe of Judah, but Bethlehem is where Jesus is born. It says this, but you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. That also is over 700 years prior. And how does God do this? How does God take these prophecies from thousands and thousands of years before, and then 700 years before, and all the ones in the midst of it? Do you think he grabbed a plane on Huntington Beach and put a banner behind it? Or he got those lights that are flashing in the sky, or one of those, I don't have my phone on me, you know those like Amber Alerts? So everybody's phone goes beep, 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 beep. Did he tell everybody in the world that his Messiah had come? Did he tell everybody in the world, look at me, look at me, look at me, I'm grandeur, pomp, and circumstance? No, he chose an obscure little town in northern Israel. The Bible tells us about it in Galatians 4:4. This verse can just be read. I've read it multiple times. In the light of Christmas, in the light of reality, it's huge. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. And 5, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. When the fullness of time had come, if you did not know this, understand that God has always existed. He always has, he always will. He made all of space and time and everything in it. There are solar systems that I can't even begin to understand, and planets and galaxies and all of these. And in one of those, there's this rock called Earth that they say is the third rock from the sun. And if you look at a globe and you spin it around and you hit a dot, most globes, the dot of Israel is tiny. And then if you go to northern Israel and you try to find Bethlehem, it is obscure and small. And in the fullness of all time that God planned, he sent forth his Son to that very spot on that very moment. And that is what Christmas is about. All the fullness of time is wrapped a baby boy. That isn't just a baby like one of ours, although he was knit. This one blew me away. Jesus was knit in Mary's womb. I never thought of Jesus before birth, like, pow. But Jesus was given to us the very first, the ultimate Christmas present. In all of the times, in all of the places, God chose to bring himself to earth. One place, one time. God is with us. God fulfills prophecy with Jesus. Another joy. Jesus is God incarnate. Jesus is God incarnate. That joy of Christmas, that it is God. Emmanuel with us. That we have with us God. God didn't, it's weird to even think that God created the earth and he literally broke space and time and the reality as we know it to break through the godness and go to the earth and take on human flesh. And be born of a woman who had sinned. He went down to that. Philippians talks, the whole Bible talks about this. That is what we have in Christ Jesus, is God in us. One of the coolest passages about the nature of Jesus is in Colossians 1, verse 15 to 20. I'll read it. Just listen. This is a description of Jesus. Like you go on the back of a shirt. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Amen? So we celebrate at Christmas. We celebrate God coming here. We celebrate the greatest event, that and the cross and the resurrection, those three cataclysmic that we've ever seen. I don't know what the end will be like, but I'm sure it's going to be magnificent as well. But if you can imagine all of the greatest events that you can think of in history, this one literally breaks through everything. It breaks through gravity, and God created gravity. It breaks through the laws of physics. God created the laws of physics. God came here to be with us. The invisible God, all of it's wrapped up in Jesus. He created everything. And he came to be with us. Merry Christmas. Not only is God incarnate, Jesus forgives us from our sins through him. It's another joy of Christmas. Jesus forgives us from our sins. Now, think of what these people have been doing for generations upon generations. All of these Israelites, what have they been doing for generations because of their sins? Sacrifices. Having animals killed for their sins. It's part of the law. Over and over and over and over. They're sin offerings. They didn't have the Holy Spirit residing in them. It was this continual thing over and over and over and over. Who knows what they thought? How often will we have to do this, Daddy? How often do you keep on sinning, Billy? Dad, is there one lamb that will take it all? I doubt they asked that. But maybe that, who knows? Maybe some Israelite kid thought that. Is there something we could sacrifice so that we don't have to sacrifice again? Little did they know that it was exactly God's plan. And God's plan was that he would send his son, Jesus, Christmas, to be that lamb, to be that spotless lamb, to forgive us from our sins. You can walk the Romans road. Therefore, since we have been justified by his faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is wrapped up in Christmas. The gospel is initiated in Christmas. But God shows his love for us that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from the wrath of God? And there's joy in that. If I get the wrong socks for Christmas, I can just think about the joy in my sins being forgiven. If my Christmas tree dries out before Christmas, I could just think about the fact that God came here to be God on earth for you and for me. If the lights stop twinkling, or they start because someone put that little red bulb in there and they start twinkling, it wasn't what I wanted. And now my Christmas house looks weak and weird and part of it's blinking and part of it's not. I can rest assured that that's not what Christmas is about. That's not what my joy comes from, because my joy comes from Jesus. Jesus gives us forgiveness from sins, another joy, that Jesus gives us salvation and eternal life with God. Jesus gives us salvation and eternal life with God. Hopefully you can repeat what the angel said, but I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you in this day, in the city of David, a Savior is born, who is Christ the Lord, a Savior. Well, what does that mean? How does he save us? What does he save us from? Are there lions and tigers and bears, oh my, running through the streets? Not there, well, maybe. There were lions, there were tigers, they were bears. Oh my. But that's not what this angel's talking about. Something bigger. People get saved all the time. You know, we've actually read about people being saved in the Bible. Saved from demons, saved from death, saved from illness. People get saved all the time. People get saved from car accidents here, right? You know, think about all the times people get saved. Now picture a boat capsizes in the middle of the ocean, and someone's sitting on the underbelly of the boat waiting to be saved in the middle of the ocean, or they're on a life raft just waiting. The depths of the sea is waiting to take them, and they have between them and death a little raft, or they're just swimming, waiting for the Coast Guard to come, and then they see the helicopter, and it says U.S. Coast Guard. And they're stoked because usually on that helicopter are military personnel trained in going down into dangerous situations to pluck people out of the water. They come down on cables with baskets and brave the waters, the wind, the rain, and they save someone. Can you picture someone being saved and just looking up going, "Thank you, Lord." And they put them in that basket, they take them to the helicopter, and they bring them safely home to their families. Wonderful reunion. Only to still have bills. And health issues, relational issues, financial issues, emotional issues, mental issues, my shoes are wearing out issues, I wish my TV would get all the channels issues. Jesus does so much more than that. We're floating around, not to get too metaphorical, we're floating around in life. In a desperate world, and God reaches down with Jesus and he plucks us out of the darkness. And he doesn't just take us home to our families. He prepares a place for us in heaven to bring us home to him forever, where there is no pain, there is no bills, there's no mental issues. There's worshiping God for eternity. What an amazing gift of Christmas. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Ah, you guys know it. And they should not perish but have. That's funny, everlasting and eternal. You're like, NIV, ESV, what, life forever, right? Like that's what Jesus brings. That's what God does. He does it because he loves us. It was the plan. Think of this. When we wake up on Christmas morning, yes, we got the gifts. The kids are just chomping at the bit. We can stop and say, this is all gravy. In fact, this is all icing on top of the already iced cake. And here is the cake. It is that we are saved by Jesus Christ, and we have eternity with God. And he actually gave us all these gifts. He actually made this tree grow. He gives us electricity for the lights. He helped these people sing. Some of those he didn't want to sing, but maybe, I don't know. But he is the one who gives us all of Christmas. Let us not forget Jesus. Enjoy the presents. Enjoy the tree. Enjoy the apple cider. Enjoy the eggnog if it's non-dairy. Enjoy all of those things, but enjoy them because of who Jesus is, right? It is this. Christmas should be how we worship Jesus, not how we celebrate and then add Jesus in on the side for an hour. 24 hours in a day, how many of those are dedicated to Jesus tomorrow, today, any of these? Another joy, Jesus defeats the enemy. Not only does he save us from hell and death, he saves us from the enemy, but he also defeats the enemy. He doesn't just pluck us out, he actually kills death. He kills the enemy. He defeats Satan. Let that sink in for a minute. How many of you have ever feared death, feared Satan, feared the enemy? God conquered those in Jesus. And we are sealed in God by Christ. Colossians 2:15 says, He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. Think of this. Think of Jesus triumphing over Satan. Like we hear it all the time. We're like, yes, I know. But think if you were there ringside for the first time. Not that, and I'm not trying to make it all lofty, like, oh, Jesus and Satan boxing. That's not what it was. But what I mean is, think of the battle. The heavenly spiritual battle. If we were to watch, it would be outrageous. And when Jesus wins, we would be joyful. Because everything that the enemy was trying to get us with, Jesus takes away. One, He pulls us from it, but then He does away with it. And eventually He's going to throw it all in the lake of fire, which means it won't even exist anymore in our presence. It's what Jesus does. It's what Christmas brings. It's a rad gift unopened. Hebrews 2:14, Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death He might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. You ever just had a friend when you were young, or when you're your age now, because none of us are old? You ever just had a friend that when you walked around town or the bad parts of town, you're like, I'm cool because I got this guy in my back pocket. I would name the few that I know, but they would embarrass them. Because even though I look really big, I'm actually not a huge man. I mean, I look scary and intimidating. I'm not huge. And there are places I can go that are intimidating. But there are people in my life that I have now and I have had that I felt pretty darn secure because I had these people by my side. Who do you have by your side? Through everything. When the devil comes knocking at your door and says, I want you to worry about this. I want you to fear this. I'm going to sell you a worry pizza. Are you going to buy it and take it and eat it? Or are you going to go, Jesus? Meet my friend Jesus. Jesus defeats the enemy. Lastly, this isn't the last of all the joys, but lastly for this morning, the joy that Jesus lives in us. Don't let that just fly in one ear and out the other. The Jesus, the God that we have been talking about, all of this resides inside of us. Inside of us. You think you feel guilty of sin because of just you're a great person? You think you are able to resist sin because you're a strong person? You think you're going to go to heaven because you're a righteous person? We're going to do all those things because of Jesus. We're going to stand before God one day, and I don't know how the verbiage is going to go, but if He went, hey, are you righteous? Sorry, Lord, I am not. But Jesus is, and He gives me His righteousness. And you told me in your word that if I have faith in Him, not if I'm perfect, not if I have perfect church attendance, not if I know every book of the Bible, but if I have faith in Christ Jesus, I get to be with you forever. And I believe He'll be like, come on in. Come on in. The worship party is already raging. Do you have Jesus living inside you? Do you have faith in Jesus? Do you understand that God gave us Christmas so that we would know Jesus? And we would have faith in Jesus so that Jesus would build a place for us and we would all be with Him forever. So in a sense, it's really weird. Christmas is for God, for us, for God. The Christmas gift for us, but the Christmas gift for God because this is how God chose to save us. Now, can you imagine the conversation? Someone coming up to you and like, well, what do you guys do for Christmas? How do you worship Christmas? What did you get for Christmas? Well, God sent His Son to die for me. And he took on my sins, and He gives me grace and forgiveness and mercy and salvation and eternity with Him, and it's wonderful. What's under your tree? Not that the things under our tree are bad, but they should be subject to Jesus, submissive to Jesus. And Jesus should be the source of our Christmas. The band can come on up as I wrap this up. You know, as we think about these things, it's easy to get caught up in the world. It just is. Everywhere you go, you know. Christmas stuff is in stores in like February. You know, I don't know when it starts, but like, and whatever, if that's what they don't do, that's what they don't do. If we took out the Bible story out of our Christmas, if we took out Jesus, the prophecies, the godness, the forgiveness, the gospel, heaven, defeating our enemy, living in us, if we took all that out of Christmas, it's just a big birthday party. Which the day after, you're just older. The joy is fleeting. The socks may not fit. The cake may not taste good. But if we have Jesus, we know that we have God incarnate. We have a God who comes to live with us, live in us, who gives us salvation, fulfills prophecy. And here's one of the coolest things about it. It never goes away. There's Christmas presents that I got when I was 6. I don't have them. I have a memory when I was whatever age, and I remember mom and dad got me this track. It was really cool, and it looped, and there were little battery-operated trucks, and the tires were a sticky rubber, and they would stick on it. It probably went like, ee, 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 you know, because I'm old, so it was probably going really slow, but it would go around, and it was so cool. And there's also this, it's a tape recording of 1980 Christmas with my grandma. And I got a race car. And then I got another one. And they have it on tape. My little voice goes, not that it's big anymore, but it goes, another race car! Another race car! And guess what? It was rad, but that race car's gone. This stuff, it never fails. You can't burn it. You can't give it away. You can share it. No one can take it from you. If this is our joy of Christmas, it's there all the time. So it's my prayer and my begging, if you will. Let Jesus be a humongous portion of your Christmas this year. And share it with others. Enjoy the presents, all the other stuff. But enjoy Jesus first. We're going to enjoy communion. Jesus told us to do this in remembrance of him. This is a fulfillment of prophecy that we remember. When Jesus went to the cross, he gave his body to be broken. His blood was shed for us. All embodied in this Christmas story. So I'm going to say a prayer, and we'll have the bread and the juice. There's some here, back by the kitchen, also on the piano here. I'm going to ask some elders to be in the back afterward as we pray. If this is new for you, take a second and just think about what it is. This is for those who believe in Jesus as their Savior, who have accepted his death and resurrection. If this is old for you, sit with it for a minute. Allow God to refresh you, to realign your vision, to narrow in your Christmas, to put your heart in the right spot with him, knowing that we have life in God through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, you tell us in your word that you are with us and living in us. And you tell us these things, that your joy would be in us and our joy would be full. You do all those things through your Holy Spirit, Lord. Man, it is in and by your Holy Spirit that we know you and have faith in you, and that we can also celebrate and worship you through communion. Lord, may this bread and this juice allow us and cause us to meditate on the sacrifice of Jesus. Because you loved us so much and you still do. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.